So we are in the part two of chapter 23, Pasuk Chav Bet, in which we saw the metaphor of the siblings who betrayed their allegiance to God. So now, at this point, we're going to see the response of God, the punishment they deserve, and then ultimately a further indictment of their activities. Pasuk Chav Bet. לכן אהליבה כה אמר אדוני אלוהים הנני מעידת מאהבייך עלייך את אשר נקיעה נפשך מהם והבטים עלייך מסביב. Therefore, אהליבה, so says God, I'm going to awaken your lovers against you. I'm going to stir them, I'm going to make them realize that their relationship with you is superficial and that they can take advantage of you. Those people that have נקיעה נפשך, again, that's the same word of Vateka, who have alienated your soul from them. Vavetim aleich misivim. I'm going to bring them. I'm going to round them up against you, and they're going to take you. And we saw this again, chapter 16, a similar idea. Bnei vavev v'chol kastim pekod v'shoa v'kowa kol bnei ashur otam b'chore haimet b'chod uskanim kulam shleishim kurim rochave susim kulam. The same people that you turn to, the people of Vavel, kastim pekod shoa and kowa, all nationalities, all the people of Ashur. All the people you turn to that were so attractive in their military appeal, governors, officials, all them are shalishim ukruim, their captains and appointees, they all hold the same power. So the whole military power that you attracted to is actually going to turn on you and become quite daunting. Ubao alaych hosen rechev vegalgal ubekhal amin. And they're going to come against you with hosts and chariots and wheels, right, vehicles of war, with an assembly of people. See now, again, Vekova, and you're going to have shields and bucklers and all weapons of war. Yesim alech, even they're going to place them upon you around. They're going to surround you with them. And I'm going to put just before them. They're going to have the right to judge you. And they're going to judge you according to their laws. And God's pointing out over here, don't think that this punishment seems so disproportionate. The point being is that you removed yourself from me, so our relationship is over. And by subjecting yourself to them, you're subjecting yourself to their corrupt laws. And if the punishment comes out disproportionate, that's because you subjected yourself to their laws. So they're going to judge you in their ways. And I'm going to place my jealousy into you, and they're going to abuse you in anger. They're going to remove your nose and ears, and whatever's left over is going to fall by the sword. They're going to take your sons and daughters, they're going to take your kids, and your final fate is going to be consumption by fire, total destruction. So the upper, the facial body parts, that seems to refer to the ruler, the leadership, and then the haritech, banech, rotech, whatever's left over after that. And they're going to strip your clothes off. Like, and they're going to take all your glorious vessels, whatever you have that God gave you out of a gesture to adorn you, is going to be stripped by them. They're going to take it because you subjected yourself to this. First, the leadership is taken down, and then the breakup of the whole state ensues. I'm going to put an end to this activity and the zenut that you've already had back from Mitzrayim. You're not going to be able to look at them. Mitzrayim was getting odd, and Mitzrayim will not remember you anymore. So, yeah, I made you appealing, which enabled you to make these alliances, but God's saying so. If these alliances are not what I want, and I'm causing them, so I'm going to remove what's allowing them, and then you'll be in a state which is so unappealing that you will not be able to pursue these alliances anymore. And again, this is reminiscent a lot of chapter 16, where God says he's going to take these things away. For so says God, I'm going to place you in the hands of your enemies, those you hated, for those that, right at the hand of the people who alienated you. Right, so God's goal is not necessarily vengeful, he just wants to put an end to the activity that is going on. Right, and here we see that these people are referred to as the enemies, earlier referred to as lovers, and the line in a relationship such as this, which is based purely on lust, right, if we recall the story of Amnon and Tamar, seems to remind us of this, that the line between the love and the hate in a lustful relationship is not that strong, and therefore easily they flip-flop. Again, their alliances from Ashur to Babel switch, and therefore they become friends and enemies easily changing. It was never a true love. It was never their trust that they could have had the relationship with God. They're going to abuse you out of hate. They're going to take away everything you've ever worked for. They're going to leave you totally exposed, totally naked, with nothing left. And they're going to expose the nakedness of your halachi, and your lewd activities, and so all the activities that you've been is going to be exposed and turn you into an unappealing candidate for further alliances. Aso elelach, these things are going to be done to you, biznotech ahare goyim, from the fact that you acted as a harlot towards other nations, alashinit met bigulahem, and from the fact that you defiled yourself with their idolatry. You followed the way of your older sister, Aholah, who you're supposed to realize it's not the way what to do, but you pursued that approach. And therefore, her cup, the cup, right, the poisonous cup that she was forced to drink from, is going to be the same prescription. What I prescribed for them as a punishment is going to be the same prescribed punishment from you. You're going to have to drink from the same cup as them. Right. So says God. You drink from the cup that your sister drank from, the one who was subjected to the fate of exile. And this is a deep, large cup that has a lot of punishment in it. It's going to be for scorn and derision, it can hold a lot. So the cup could provide for a very strong, harsh punishment that you are deserving of. Shikaron v'yagon timalei, and as a result of drinking from this cup, you'll be filled with a drunken state, but also sorrow. Kos shamau shmama, because this cup destroys and baffles. Kos ahotech shomeron, this is the cup of your sister Shomeron, that maybe they didn't even drink the whole thing, but you're going to have to drink from it. Veshatitot, and you're going to drink it. And you're going to be so enamored by, you're not realizing that it's a poison, and drunken by the stupor that it puts you into, you're going to suck out the edges of the cup, and that's going to cause you to rip apart your chest. So you're going to be so enamored, so at a loss, it's going to drive you mad. You're going to suck every drop out of it, not realizing that this is your total destruction. It's interesting to note here, the material of the cup is chayes, contrary to cup with which Yirmiyah, the end of Yirmiyah, told us that other nations are going to drink from was gold. Point being, maybe that this cup, at least chayes, was known as somewhat the equivalent of a disposable cup, not necessarily going to be reused, rather the gold would definitely be reused. And the concept of, again, ripping apart the chest, yes, out of madness, but also tearing away the initial cause of the sin. Pasuk lamed he. Achen ko amar Adonai Elohim, therefore so says God, Yan shachachat oti, since you've forgotten me. Vatashlichi oti aharei garevech, and you threw me behind your back. You totally disregarded me, totally forgot about me. Vegam ad si'izi matech vetazmutayich. And you further have to bear your lewdness and harlotry. And that God's now going to launch back into why they're deserving of such a face. Feet, what they have done, what they are guilty of. And God tells me, Ben Adam, are you up to the task? Again, we saw similar language earlier. Are you up to the task of judging the nation, of giving them this news of their terrible fate? Tell them, to him. Could you confront them with the issue? Could you maybe help them understand why they are subjected to this. And notice that Ahola and Ahliba are put here into the same sentence, where we know Ahola already was subjected to fate, and the point being basically that the fate of Ahliba is sealed as well. And why is this? Kini Efu, for they have committed adultery, Vidambi Dehem, and there's blood on their hands. With Gilu Ahemni Efu, and there's idolatry. So we have right, what we'd call the three cardinal sins of the people. And their offspring that was born, again, for me, for my worship, or out of our relationship, they set them out to be devoured. They, again, we mentioned child sacrifices seem to be somewhat of a practice in the people. All right, and this just begins the long litany of sins that the nation is guilty of. And again, Yahazkenah continues into that. Besides for these heinous crimes they already committed, they've done even more. They violated my sanctuary on that day, and my Shabbats they desecrated. So right, so there's an element of human corruption in murder and infidelity and offering their kids as sacrifices, but then there's an added component of a personal sin, a personal assault with their relationship of God. And when they slaughtered their own kids to their idols, and they didn't just do this independent of my relationship, but use my relationship for it, and they've done it in my sanctuary. And they did it in my sanctuary to desecrate it. And they did it in my house, so my house was the place where these things was going on, were going on. And they don't realize the paradox that is going on here. In fact, they maybe even think that it's considered part of worship of God, which again makes the sin ultimately that much worse. It's not just an independent bad activity, but is their service of God is so misconstrued. And furthermore, they send to people that come from distances, that the messenger was sent out to them and they came. You get yourself ready for them, right? You wash yourselves, you color up, right? Kahal, some sort of makeup. Vadid eti, and beautify yourself with ornaments. And the point being, you didn't just go out to idol worship centers, but you became a center for idol worship yourself. So you have the place where people are meant to come to worship God, where people from all over the world are meant to come to worship God. You turn that into a center for idolatry, which makes, again, the crime all the more worse. And you sit now in front of a nice bed, and there's a table set out before you, and my spices and my oils you put on it. So you take my spices and you put it on the table that is used to service the idols. Right, so this reminds of two things really. That in 16, where we saw, where Yahazkel says, God says, I gave you these gifts, and you use these gifts ultimately to rebel against me. And further in Perekhav, where God's claim was that my laws that were, I gave you bad laws, meaning you misconstrued my laws, you turned my laws into something that is so terrible. וכול המון שלב בא ולנשים מרוב אדם ובאים סובעים ממדבר. And the voice of many was at ease therein, and there were many people there brought drunken from the midbar, drunken from the wilderness. ויתנוסו מדים על ידיהם, and they bring in these people and put bracelets upon their hands, ועטרת תפארת על ראשיהם, and beautiful crowns on their heads. So they glorify the things that shouldn't necessarily have been glorified, make alliances which give them this false sense of security with those that are not really trustworthy. And my reaction to this was that I said that she's just totally worn out from this adultery, and yet still they're committing these horrible acts. Right, and here God's communicating that they were burnt out, but despite that, they didn't get through it. It wasn't just a phase where they had to get through. Once they continued, even after they were burnt out, that shows that it's a permanent condition that needs to really undergo a change. And now these foreign people come to her as if they would pursue a prostitute. So too, they came to these siblings who were lewd individuals. So righteous people, and this is almost promising that there even will be righteous people at the end of this. Again, Yechezkel needs to convey that there's going to be destruction, there's going to be a future. So ultimately, the righteous men will come and judge them. The judgment, the justice for those committing of adultery. And justice of murder. Because they're guilty of these crimes. They've committed infidelity. And there's blood on their hands. So the nation is guilty of these things, but they will be brought to justice, is God's claim. For so says God, God says, bring up an assembly of people against them and put them in the state of horror and spoils. Now recall, Yechezkel is not talking to the people of Yehuda, he's talking to the people in Babel, but he needs to make this public, he needs to communicate what is going to happen despite the fact that these people will not necessarily be there. But these people that come up against them, Mavel goes against them, is going to stone them. The nation, the congregation will stone them in administration of punishment. And going to break them up with the sword. They're going to kill their kids, but they're going to burn down their houses. And this is going to bring an end to this lewd activity in the land. And all people will learn from this example. They'll be taught from this example. And they're not going to follow in this way. They're going to realize that what you did led to this. So, right, this is what Yechezkel has to communicate to people in exile. Look at what's happening. Watch what's happening. Understand why it's happening. And understand, therefore, where you should be in relevance to that. Your their activity is going to place on them in measure for measure punishment, and their sins they're going to have to bear, and you're going to know that I am God. And God saying is that if what I call evil is leading to a downfall, despite the fact that intuitively one might assume that doing these activities may be an advantage, when we see the downfall, it's going to prove that God is true, that his doctrines are true, and what he's preaching is what Yechezkel is preaching is actually correct. And that really brings us to the close of chapter 23 of the history, bringing the full picture of the nation's sin from beginning to destruction end. And next chapter, we'll see the last chapter before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem.